You're listening to Auto D, coming at you live.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for listening to the Auto D Show here on Dave Pratt's Star Worldwide Networks, broadcasting from high above Camelback Road in beautiful Scottsdale, Arizona. I am your host, Otto Daniolo, and this evening, my guest is Phoenix-based makeup artist and entrepreneur Toy Taylor, and I'm excited to have this opportunity to chat with Toy, and I will be, right after this first song from the Fervor Records catalog called Mango Kush by Moonwalker here on the Auto D Show. Check it out. That was Mango Kush from the band called Moonwalker here on the Auto D Show, which is brought to you tonight in part by my great friends at Fervor Records and also by TheRecordingArtist.com, where every Wednesday evening I record bands live online while you watch. You can even participate via live chat if you want. So to learn more, go to TheRecordingArtist.com and be sure to check out our companion show on Amazon Prime. It's called The Recording Artist. Of all things. It's kind of cool. And so is tonight's guest, as a matter of fact, Toy Taylor. She's the owner of the Creative Toy Box, which is an exclusive beauty salon specializing in hair care and makeup services for its clients. She's also an author, and she's got so much going on, I'm going to have to let her tell you. But one of the things we're going to talk about is that she describes herself as a solutionist at heart. Now, that's one thing I know we have in common. So without further ado, let's bring her on. Hi, Toy. Welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you so much, Otto, for having me.
You got here a little early today.
I did. And I used my time wisely. I did not come up into the studio right away and bug you. I sat in my car and dealt with emails and text messages and everything else that I have going on. So that was nice, because then I don't have to do it when I leave here.
That's right. You kind of get caught up a little right. bit.
Can I say I like that music, Chorus? Not going to lie. You had me at Kush.
You know what? These guys, let me tell you, if you don't know a little bit about Fervor Records, they're a local production company that started, gosh, now maybe 15, 18 years ago. I'm not exactly sure when. But they started pitching music for TV and film. That was their focus. And they had a great relationship developed with MTV. Mm-hmm. And as MTV changed, they said, look, we don't want you to pitch us songs. We want you to pitch us bands. So all of a sudden, they decided, well, let's become a label. We'll sign bands, make their songs, and pitch them to TV. They
went, nice.
That's really was the impetus for their process. And so now they've got a ton of bands. They also sign catalogs, back catalogs from other people all over the world. And they've got a massive catalog. They're on just about every show you watch is a song that came there via Fervor Records out in Glendale.
I bet. That was nice.
So this is one of their groups, Mango Kush. There's a bunch of great songs. So
I was trying not to get out of my chair. I was being a good girl.
Well, you know what? I haven't played these guys a lot, and because I've got folders and folders of stuff they sent me on their catalog to use. And I was going through it today, and I picked three of their tunes. So if we really want to break at any point, I'll play another song. But they've got a lot of great stuff.
Right.
That's kind of
nice. Yeah, they were good. Mango Kush.
Uh-huh.
Nice. And
thanks for the hats off to those guys. That's very, very cool.
Yeah, that was a nice little jam there. Actually, I was thinking, I was moving in my chair, and I'm like, this is like some house cleaning. So moving around, putzing around, it's a good Sunday or something. Don't turn the TV on and let this play.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting. The band is called Moonwalker.
Uh-huh.
And so who's the only moonwalker?
Right.
And so there's a little style vocalistically of Michael Jackson between the low and then to the falsetto. But stylistically, from a music point of view, it doesn't sound like they really tried to cop any of the
vibe.
But it's interesting. I'd like to talk to them about what that.
Well, then I'm gonna need you to play another song though.
Like, okay,
I want to hear more.
So it's kind of cool.
I have to write that down. But thank you for having me.
And since we're on music, and that's my background,
let me
just ask you real quick: do you have a go-to band or a go-to artist that you like to listen to?
How much time we got? No. I'm an old school girl.
Uh-huh.
I am an old school girl. So the first thing I will go to probably will be my 70s. Mm-hmm. My 70s will be my funk, will be my Parliament. SOS Band is probably
cool.
My number one.
Mm-hmm.
Then you can go into like Cameo. I like those big bands where they have 52 people on stage.
Yeah.
Earth, Wind, and Fire type of thing. So I will still play all of that. Thank you, Spotify, for allowing me to put my playlist together, because I couldn't get any more MP3 downloads, you know. Then I'll go into my 80s, and I am Journey, Foreigner, all of that, because I grew up in Glendale in the 80s. I was a teen.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm right there, and I'll even throw in some of the good rock band. You know, like, I hate to say I wasn't the biggest Guns N' Roses fan, but I like, you know, some, I like me a little Twisted Sister type of thing, and a little Motley Crue. I like that kind of stuff, but I just don't get down with too much of the new music today.
Yeah.
Listen to it because I have a 21-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, I say he listens to angry rap. That's what he listens to. I'm like, there's no beat to it, but whatever.
You know, I think music changes at the right pace that parents always sound like, that's not music.
Yes.
Our parents said it.
Yep.
We say it, you know.
I remember my mom and dad saying the same exact thing. Mm-hmm. And I'll do that. And I'm like, oh my gosh, listen to your music, because I don't want to sound like a parent, but go ahead and listen to it.
And then you go, but you know, you say the same thing and you go, but this is different.
Right. He makes me very proud. He'll go through his moods, and then he is playing. I have heard some Glenn Campbell. He knows all the words to Sweet Home Alabama. Yes, he does. He'll get on his country. He will. Oh, I think he had like some Sinatra playing. So I have to say it's he's got a nice range when I can get him out of the rap, you know, part of things.
Well, that's fantastic. I think when you can find something to enjoy in all those different styles of music, that's really what music's all about. It's pretty transcending.
Yes.
You know, and I think if you just sit and listen, you can really enjoy almost any kind of music.
Yes.
I should say, in terms of when they're good, the good artists and the good songs, any style really, really works.
Right, right.
But to me, there's nothing worse than bad, you know, country music. Bad. And most pop country music's leaning there, to be honest.
Right. I like the newer stuff. I can't get down with the old stuff.
See, I like some of the old stuff, and I like some of the newest stuff, but I would say, you know, 15 years ago is where I think felt like it was lost.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I think I had a mad crush on Toby Keith for a while.
Did you?
Yeah, I think I did.
I just got my haircut today and looked in the mirror and said, that's Keith Urban.
You are so Keith Urban. I thought it the minute you when I walked in. I thought he's got his Keith Urban going on today.
I better start a Keith Urban tribute band now.
Yep, it's working. Go. You're in the industry. That's the beauty of being a creative. You know that, Otto.
Yeah.
We can do and look and be the way we want because we are creatives.
That's the truth.
Yes.
That's absolutely the truth. And you know, and you're deep into that because been in the makeup, hair and makeup world, I mean, you tend to transform people, whether it's for a role in a film or whether it's for a look in a music video or whether it's just for your big event today, you know, all with different goals, all with different tools, I would imagine.
Right.
And that's you must feel pretty good when they get up out of that chair and they turn around and look at you and they're like, oh my God, look at me.
Yes.
That's got to be pretty cool.
Yes. And you're absolutely right. First of all, let me say I am extremely blessed and grateful that my hobby, my job, my career, my what I'm doing for the rest of my life, I am fortunate that hair and makeup, it's in everything that I do. So I don't have to do the side or, you know, the side hustle and stuff like that. I am very fortunate and blessed because, you know, like photographers, they have to work a day job and then they can be a photographer or makeup artist. I got to have a full-time job here and do this. I am so super fortunate and blessed, especially surviving the pandemic and still being able to run my business the way that I have been able to hold on to. But you're right.
When you say run your business, that's like you have a lot of things going on. Now, are you referring to the Creative Toy Box?
Yes. So that is my salon.
And that's been going for 30 years, I think.
I started out as a nail tech. Okay. The Creative Toy Box has not been around for 30 years, but I started in 1988 as a nail tech for my first 12 years. And then I got my license to do hair the same year that my son was born. So 99 and 2000, I was able to work behind the chair doing hair. So yes, that's 21 years hair, 33 years total, I believe. So this is all I know. All I know is the beauty industry. All I know is entrepreneurism. All I know is to set my own schedule. You know, this is what I've done. So yes, I have the Creative Toy Box, which is my salon. I'm in the salon about 3 days a week with my clientele. Then I'm also the key makeup artist for the Desertwood Days talk show. Which is where we met.
And I have to tell you, the day we met, I was just charmed. I'm like, I have to have you on my show.
Awesome.
You know, and I asked for your card and I put it in a place where I would always find it until we had a slot to bring you in because I was just completely intrigued with your manner and your excitement. Usually the people who are behind the scenes aren't the excited ones.
Right.
But it's fantastic when they are because they're surrounding the talent that's going to be on the show. And when they have that uplifting energy, it's extremely positive.
Can I explain to you why?
Yeah.
Let me tell you. I am meeting some of Arizona's hottest. I can't cuss on here, right?
There's no FCC. pick your word.
But I was like, wait a minute. I was about to say something.
I can also bleep it in the playback.
Gotcha. No, but I am meeting some of Arizona's most amazing talent that I only have heard your name. I've seen your name. I've never met you. There are many people out of all the episodes we have done. And it is mind-blowing. I'm tired at the end of the day because we've done about five shows or something.
You do a lot in a day.
We do a lot. And then at the end of the day, I look through the list. I'm like, oh my gosh, she is so cool. Oh my gosh, she is so awesome. And I'm thinking, and I'm making these connections such as I'm sitting right here today on your show. I've made so many amazing connections. Like, I feel goosey right now. Seriously. That's where I get that hype from, working for the show, because the massive amount of talent. And the funny thing is, so many of you have a hard time being in front of the camera because you're always behind the camera. You know, that's true. Our actors are right on. They're good. They come in ready to go. Yeah. So my creatives that are behind the camera or behind the microphone, you know, and so we've gotten some people in there that are so nervous and everything, but I love it. Because I'm like, oh, wait, I've been wanting to meet this person. Oh, wait, you have this studio here. So I have some tours that I need to go on of studios. I've just learned so much in the last 2 months that would probably take me 5 years to come across all these people. Isn't that yourself cool?
Yes. That's very cool.
Yes.
You know, you just mentioned when the other side of the camera person comes on, they're most probably unprepared for how they need to prepare for you. So I would imagine that's the truth. What's the one thing you could say right now, if everybody could hear it, saying, if you're going to go be on a show and you're going to sit in the chair, what's the best way they can prepare for you?
For myself?
To make your job easy and get done what you need to get done.
Honestly, since it's such a fast-paced situation, have your hair and makeup done. Have it done. What the makeup is there to do, especially at our level. Mm-hmm. Now, maybe if you're at big budget type level, might be a little different story, but right. at our level, have yourself already prepared to go, because the makeup artist, myself, can look at you and say, okay, well, let's do this and this and enhance, because I know the distance of the camera, I know what the camera's going to do, I know the unforgivingness of a 4K, 5K, 6K, so we are going to put some lips on you today, even though you don't like lipstick, but you just look like a nose and a chin, and everything's going to disappear. But honestly, the number one thing that I see, no logos. Be careful of what you wear. If you are going to be on any show, if they have not prepped you, just know, especially if anything's on a smaller scale, no logos, unless you're coming with a fat check that you can pay to have your Adidas logo on your shirt when you're sitting there. But really, that's on a situation like this, that would be it. Now, on a like, say, a film or something like that, please don't come with makeup on. Please come with a clean, dry face. I do still do a little bit of skincare work before I'm applying makeup, but I really don't want to have to wash your face. We don't really want to have to cleanse everything off. So from that standpoint, in that scenario, yeah, I would just say make sure your face is nice, clean, moisturized. Do all your little treatments and everything that you do and make sure that you're prepared like that. And if your hair is nasty, please shampoo it and condition it. Yes, because I've had that.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
That's awesome.
Yes.
I imagine it's a little different every time, you know, depending on the project. But you, in your bio, you mentioned that you've worked on films, you've worked in music video, you've done, you know, the fashion stuff, I think, and even in New York City fashion.
I did. We did one season.
That had to be fun.
Did one show, and my partner in crime, Miss Moni Loves Effects. Yes, we were newly friends, and we worked for a designer, an accessories designer here. She was going to be one of the designers in New York. She said, "I would like you girls. I want you guys to be my makeup artists." And we're like, heck yeah, let's go. New York Fashion Week. Woo woo. We're gone. We get there. Well, first of all, it's how do you pack your makeup? Okay, that's still like, that was the most stressful thing, because it's like, you can lose my clothes, but you can't lose my makeup. And what do you carry? Because everything's 3 ounces. So we stressed over that for probably a good solid week on how we could each carry a kit. And she's so awesome. She brought us these perfect bags that we could carry on. Because again, lose the clothes, don't lose my kit type of thing. It was, I think we were there 2 nights, so 3 days. It was the fastest shebang. We got there the night before the show. The show was that day. It was sheer chaos. It was sheer chaos. And we're apparently the outsiders, because the other artists between hair and makeup, a lot of them knew one another.
Sure.
Because, and I don't know, in my mind, they bring in world-renowned stars, star makeup artists, and they do this. So my mind had a whole different TV thing going on in my head. So when we're there, it was chaos. We're talking about 37, 40 designers, one night, one show, boom, 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 amongst 25, 30 models. who, when they came to your chair, we were strictly hair. When they came to your chair, they tell you who they're walking for, and you look through the guide, and you see what the makeup is. Very simple. Well, me being the person I am, Miss Stickler about things, I don't do all the socializing. And I love Moni to death because she is like, she's my social media girl. So she is on. That's when I think we just started live streaming. And right. So she could live stream. And I was like, you work that. So I'm trying to wiggle my way to the stage because I kind of want to see what's going on. But I hear all this yelling and commotion because these models are not right. There's all high ponytails, but one girl's got her hair down. So I had to literally had to have her bend down. I took part of her hair, wrapped it up into a tight. I used her hair as a pony holder on top of her head and told her, don't shake too hard. Don't shake too hard because I don't know if it's going to stay. But at least you match the other 15 girls. And then one of the directors is yelling, we want red lipstick. This is not red. That's pink. Makeup, makeup. And I'm standing there. I have red lipstick and a towel because, again, I'm right on it. So I'm looking there and I have to have these 12-foot tall models scooch all the way down. Some of them, it was way before COVID, but it's like wipe it off with a towel and put this red color, wipe it off and you just got to go. It's the same brush, it's the same lipstick. I mean, you've got to go because the runway needs to look cohesive.
Yeah.
And I just thought, my gosh, I need 12 drinks. I need 12. It was not as glamorous as I had thought.
What an experience.
It was a huge experience. I would do it again, but I'd have a totally different mindset and I would be prepared.
Yeah.
I really felt like we were like the little baby hyenas thrown to the lions type of thing. But I work good in those scenarios. So you have to know your strengths.
And once you know what you're going into, you can mentally prepare and you can reorganize your own game a little bit if you need to.
Yes. This is why the film industry is not for all makeup artists.
Mm-hmm.
I have makeup artist friends who only like to do fashion shows, runway, who like to do that. Those are my least favorite. I absolutely love film. Mm-hmm. I love music videos because music videos probably have nothing to do with the music.
Yeah, and we haven't talked about the different. I wanted to get into that because I would think that music videos often might be as much of something just more dramatic than a typical film piece.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So you get far more colorful. You're trying to be more expressive and more make a look.
Yep. Yep. So I've done for a local artist, JC Triple Threat. I worked on a couple of his videos and one, it was so fun. We were downtown somewhere in an alley and it's where they have spray painted the whole back of the buildings all graffiti like. So me and another artist, did up all the girls and everything so they could dance and everything. So I love watching that come together. But probably my most far out video. And again, I watched the video and the song. They never connect. They don't. There's really no real sense, rhyme or reason to them. So he wore an armor. We went all the way out to Arboretum.
Okay.
Boyce Thompson Arboretum. And he wore a 10,000 pound suit of armor.
Jeez.
And he had to have a busted up face.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it was crazy. But I'm like, really? I'm like, okay. But that's music video.
They're kind of like mini movies, only they're fantasies,
Yes.
What's been one of your favorite film projects?
Ooh, it just came out.
Tell me about it.
It's called Overrun.
Okay.
And it was filmed in LA.
Mm-hmm.
And it was so much fun. Let me see. We filmed December 2019. I'm pretty sure it would have been out last year, but hello, COVID.
Mm-hmm.
So it finally did release August 17th of this year. So I could not wait. So we sat down and we watched it. It was a lot of fun to see that come together. It's pure action. Otto, I love blood. I love blood. I love bruising. I love busted lips. I love busted nose. I'm going to learn to pop your eyeball out your head. I love all of that. If I had to pick and choose glitz and glam or blood and guts, I'm going blood and guts every day. Every day. So it was a lot. They were tons and tons. It's a heavy, heavy stunt movie.
Mm-hmm.
So to watch how you fly through the air, how you topple and land on the ground, how you do that, how the safety fire department has to talk to you because we're about to blow up use some dynamite on set, you know, just things like that. It was the most exhilarating, hard working. I still have a numb toe 3 weeks of my life on set, and I came home changed. This is what I want. This is what I want to do.
Cool.
Yes.
Well, let me ask you a question about the blood and the action. For example, let's say somebody's flying through the air.
Yes.
Right? And their face isn't bloody yet.
Yes.
And they go through a window, they hit the floor, and they look up, and their face is bloody.
Yep.
Now, do you end up addressing a makeup at the end of that shot before they go again? If they want another take, you redo. Or do they really pay attention to your role as well and always separate those responsibilities? So shoot everything where we don't need the blood, then shoot everything where we have to have this much blood.
Mm-hmm. The blood's going to come in at the same time if however they have it set up.
Right.
However they have it set up. So a good fight scene, when they get close, there's blood coming out of the mouth, but I had to stand there. So as they fight and as he went to get punched, it was cut, bring the blood in. Yep. Put the blood in. The issue was they did that about 3 or 4 times. And I was on the clock because the other makeup artist was on the other set because they had 2 sets running.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's called wipe it off and blood starts to give a little pink. So you have to put makeup and, you know, and clean it up as fast as possible because they're giving you 47 seconds to do all this and they do it again. So if you're flying through the air and the blood is not there, they could crash you through the window, but it's going to get cut. Makeup's going to come in, do everything they have to do. And then it could be done a whole different way. It really just depends on how they do. This particular film, I had no say. I was also in as the assistant, and I was the second makeup artist. So, but we had no say. This is exactly how it's supposed to go, what it's supposed to look like. I actually prefer that because I have a wild imagination, and I watch a wild array of movies from bad movies to great movies. So I can come up with some things, but it might not be what the director was thinking it should look like. So there's a lot of different ways, but yes, there's a lot of clean that up and now we have to do it again. So if you're having a big gunshot spray or something like that, you better get it right the first time.
That's interesting.
You better get it right the first time. It's a lot of cleanup.
Now, in this particular film, was much of that done in post-production or was it done real like that on set with makeup?
It was all real. I think I say it was just enhanced.
Yeah.
Oh, no. They rig the guys up. They fly through the air. The dynamite is being blasted. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And then my rising moment was that Bruce Dern was in the movie.
Okay.
And so I got to work on him. And he drinks a lot of Coke. Drinks Coca-Cola and swears a lot. The F word. I love him. It was his favorite word. So, yeah, I got to shave his face and help him out with that. And we had Nicholas Turturro on there.
Oh, wow,
he was really cool to sit and talk. Yeah, I was trying not to fan out, Otto.
Yeah,
I was trying not to. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. And so it was it let me know this is what I want to do. This is where I want to be.
That's awesome.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
That's kind of cool when you find that kind of clarity.
Yes.
You know, so we'll see when the next one is like that you get to do.
I know. I don't want to talk about it too much, but I am in line for another one. I'm just waiting for it to go time. But this could take me out of the state, if not out the country. So we're just waiting. We're just waiting.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Now, for people who don't know anything about what you do.
Mm-hmm.
What do you come equipped with on a gig like that? Are you expected to bring makeup or on a gig like that? It's all there.
Absolutely. No, you bring it.
Okay.
You bring it because, you know, as a key makeup artist, the head makeup artist, you read the script. This is what I do. I read the script. I note each character. You note their specs. Keith Urban hair, fluffy mustache, you know, tattooed. You make notes of everything because you are going to have to make sure everything is there.
Mm-hmm.
And I am not I don't classify myself as a special effects artist in the fact of like my girl Moni, she can make a hand, she'll make a bullet wound, she'll, you know, she's like, that's the girl you need right there. You know, I'll bust your lip up. I'll do the fighting stuff like that. That's what I like. So you have to make sure you have all your dirt, have all your different types of blood, everything. And she has taught me so much. I mean, you can just take a class on blood alone and then just getting with the different companies and learning. So yes, you have to have everything. If you're a hair artist, yes, combs, brushes, you may need toupee. You may need to fill in bald spots. And I've yet to meet a production that supplied, you know, that had it all right there on hand.
Cool. You know what? We've been going for a half hour and I have all these other things I want to talk about too. And I'm like, we should make a jump here into one of these other little topics. I'm just fascinated by it all, so I could just keep going because to me it's very, very interesting. But let's say something else that I was reading in your bio. You're the founder of Be Your Own Glam Squad makeup class. Tell me what this class is all about.
So prior to COVID, I would have small in-person classes in my salon and teach women to do their makeup. My demographics, I'd say about 40, 45 and up. Not to say that I don't work with younger women. It's just the demographics that seem to fall in my pathway, you know, are us middle age. I call us seasoned skin. Okay. I heard a makeup artist one time call my age bracket vintage. Yeah, she was about to be laid out. I was like, we're not vintage, boo, but we can be seasoned. You can, because we've earned it. We've earned it. So that's what the Be Your Own Glam Squad class was. You come in and literally bring your own makeup, everything. And then we go step by step, all 14 steps to applying makeup, because I give everything. So then it was transitioning to online. And I did one online, and I'll be honest with you, I didn't like it. I didn't like it because, again, it's living my life through the computer. It's living I'm such a tangible, hands-on type of person, and what I do is very personal. So I like to have people in front of me. I like to actually be able to talk to you. I like to look up close at you, and I don't, you know what I'm saying? I want to be in person. So with COVID and everything, it just put all that to a stop. So I've had to turn around and rebrand myself. And now I do more one-on-one. I've actually moved my salon to a very small studio to where I want to be a little bit more upscale boutique style. And I have a one-on-one client concierge program to where we go from your skincare to your gut health, and then we can talk makeup, we can talk hair, because now I don't have to have a lot of people around me or anything like that, and I can give you the focus that you need because I'm a solutionist. I'm not a salesperson. I don't sell crap. I'm not a good seller of anything. I'm really not. But I can solve your problems. I can definitely solve your problems when it comes to beauty and skincare. Let me just put that out, so that's where from Be Your Own Glam Squad in salon has changed into this one-on-one, no groups, you know, doing like that. And then this way I also incorporate my custom makeup line. I do custom foundations.
You do have a mineral makeup line.
I do.
Truth by Toy,
because it's the truth.
How did you get into that?
So I'm affiliated with Motives Cosmetics, and I'm a beauty advisor with them. And they offer us a fabulous custom blend system that's separate from their prepackaged products. We have this system over here that is endless. Some of us makeup artists, they are making full lines of makeup, customizing it themselves. And me, I focus on my foundations, mineral powder, and concealers. I'm actually right now working on a anti-aging lip gloss, just getting it perfected. So I'm still working on that. And because my demographics is at 40, 45 and up, guess what we have as we get older? We have hyperpigmentation. We have eye bags. We have stress. Some people are smokers, cigarette smokers. They're just, you know, we have all these issues that start happening. We start getting moles. Skincare is for the 20-year-old, but honey, it is for sure for the 40, 50 and up. Mm-hmm. For real. We have to start doing a lot to our skin the older we get. And especially if you live in good old dry ass Arizona, because this heat is horrible.
Yeah.
So that's pretty much where I came in, where I'm at with that.
Now, is that makeup something that you have on set, or is it something that people can buy as well? Is it available?
No. So you have to come in the salon with me. Mm-hmm. I actually fill out a whole survey. It takes about 30 minutes. We talk about your skin, your issues. I mean, it gets pretty deep. It gets very deep, and then I get to put on my gloves and everything, and I mix everything up right there, and you get one bottle. My largest clientele, I would say, would be women of color, because being a black woman myself, we always have a hard time finding one bottle of foundation. It's too ashy. It's too yellow. It's got too much red. It's got too much of this. And our skin tones, every race has skin tones all over the place. So I have found that my women of color have really loved the custom foundation because it's one bottle. I've worked on so many shows where these models, I'm like, okay, did you bring your foundation in? I did. And they pour four bottles in front of me. I'm like, what's that? Well, I take a little bit of this and I mix this because it's got a little yellow and it's got a little this. I'm all like, what in the hell? I don't have time for all that. Like, I got 15 minutes to do your face. Yeah. But that's where I just started seeing this, like, I should really get more and more and more, you know, involved with this. And, you know, I admit I took a lot of it for granted, because when I first started doing this, I mean, I was blending all over the place. Things were going good. And then things just started tapering off, and then bam, we had a COVID.
Mm-hmm.
And I know I've had the same bottle of foundation for a year, year and a half. I just actually made myself a tinted moisturizer just so I don't have to wear my thick, heavier, you know, runway ready type of makeup, because, you know, that's not what we're doing anymore.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Where did you learn all this stuff? I mean, how did you get started?
Ooh. With makeup, with hair, or just in the beginning?
Well, like in the beginning, was this something you did as a young girl playing around, and it just fell into? What was that first opportunity that kind of set you on this path?
So I believe it might have been at Erica's Naughty Nails in the 80s, and I don't remember her name. I am so sorry. I think it's Jennifer or Anita. I don't remember. Anyways, I'm a junior in high school, so I go with one of my cheerleader friends. I was a cheerleader, and I went with her to get her nails done, and I sat there, and this nail tech had big 80s hair. She had long fingernails. In my mind, they're, you know, out to here, but they're really right here. She had on a leopard smock. I do wear a leopard smock today, and I was stuck. I was just like, whoa. They were all airbrushed and everything. Right. So I would go and get a cheap little full set of nails at, I think it was Hair Performers back then. And then my friend, we went to Sally's, and then we'd buy all the product, the OPI stuff, and start doing our own nails. Didn't know why my nails were black and green and spongy, but that's okay, because then I finally went to beauty school. My parents told me no. I graduated school. They said, you're smart and you won't be in the beauty industry. Hmm. You're going to go to school and go to law school like you want to do. And I was like
you want to do.
Like I want to do. And I said, okay, well, I came from little old independence that had less than 1,000 kids in Glendale. You put me over to ASU. Hello. So at the end of that 1 year, they said, we going to need you to leave the school. Or you're on probation, whatever.
Sounds like my freshman year.
Exactly. So, so I worked. I quit school after a year, and then I worked. And then I would say by early 88, I said, screw it, I'm going to go do nails, because I was doing nails. Now I've learned to do them better. So I was going to people's houses, auto for $10. I would do a $10 fill-in, get a meal, and sometimes stay the night and go to work from there at like friend's house.
Wow.
Yeah, it was the worst $10 I've ever made.
Talk about being an entrepreneur.
Exactly.
Like, I know how I can do this.
So I did. So I went to school, did that, and then I had a bad car accident in 1998. And I'm always, as I've told me, nah, you probably got ADHD. Well, I probably do. I get bored. Mm-hmm. So 4 years into it, I did go back to college. I went to Phoenix College. I got my AA degree and then was going to keep going on. But then they said, you got to leave the school because we can't do anything else for you. But I liked Phoenix College and I did not want to go to a university.
Right.
Bad taste in my mouth. So I at least got my 2 year degree, kept working, met another fellow nail tech who worked with me. She said, I want to go to hair. I want to do hair. We both said it. 1998, I had a really bad car accident. A guy hit me head on. And I broke my wrist and my left wrist. And I was out of work almost 4 months. Well, to a nail tech whose clients come in once a week, once every 2 weeks. Yes. And I had just moved to a different salon after I'd been in my initial salon for 9 years. And that took me out. I lost over half of my clientele. So I thought, I think it's the right time to go to beauty school and mm-hmm. go get my hair license. Sadly, I popped up pregnant at the same time. So we did those together. And then I went with one of my good friends. And actually, lo and behold, where I work now, she works in the studio right down the
way.
So we've been friends since the 90s. I have never looked back. It is the best profession.
Cool.
But you got to work hard. It's different from the 80s and the 90s. This era mm-hmm. of being in the beauty industry for any makeup artist, hairstylist, it's tough. You have to know the computer, the social media. It's not just doing the job. If anything, your work is probably third on the list.
Isn't that interesting?
Seriously.
Well, also with hair now, even in men's hair, I've heard from hairstylists that color is becoming a bigger and bigger and bigger part of their job.
Yes.
Even you used to be able to say, well, I don't do color. They do color. I just cut. And now it's like, no, you do color mm-hmm. or you don't work.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. That's a big growing phase.
It's crazy. It's crazy. It's changing. I just want to go off in the film industry because the salon industry, it's changing.
Yeah.
And it's tough for me because I'm still so old school.
Mm-hmm.
It took a lot for me just to use my phone as my scheduler.
Yeah.
You know, I tried one of those scheduling apps. I was like, screw that shit. I did it for 1 month. I was like, yeah, I can't do that.
Back to the book.
Yeah. Back to the book. Yeah. My best friend, she's a nail tech. She still uses a paper book. I'm not mad at her.
Uh-huh.
Not mad at her. No. All this technology it throws us a little bit. So,
I understand.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, you are also a published author. You've got a couple books out.
I do.
Tell me a little bit about this.
So my first one book was published with Dr. Brenda Combs, and it is She Rose. We are female heroes. So that was with six women. Six of us wrote a chapter. So that was my very first chapter. And my platform always starts with forgiveness, my personal platform. Because I had such a love-hate relationship with my mom growing up and everything. So my Shiro chapter comes from that pivotal moment of when I started to forgive, or how I learned to forgive my mom. And for all those, and she is my ride or die, my right hand, my, you know, one of my closest allies, you know. And well, we've gone through a lot. And we've had huge mountains to come to, you know, to climb over to get to where we are today.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second book, I believe Overcoming Obstacles. Forgive me if I don't remember my titles. But that was with the Sisterhood Extravaganza, Pat Gillum. And so we did I did a coaching program with her, the Me Powered program. And man, that changed my soul.
Mm-hmm.
It changed me so much. So again, I was with, I think, 5, 6, 7 women. We wrote a chapter. So I got a little bit deeper mm-hmm. into my forgiveness and mm-hmm. learning clarity and how to really come out on the other side of childhood conditioning,
mm-hmm.
which we all have, good or bad. Because I'm here to tell you, if you don't take care of it by the time you're 50... Ooh-wee.
Yeah.
You know, it's coming for you. It's coming for you, Otto. It's coming for you. So I was a part of those, wrote a chapter in those two books, and I like that. I like that. And right now, I'm actually working on basically taking my Be Your Own Glam Squad and putting it in book form.
Mm-hmm. Oh, cool.
And it is labor intensive.
Yeah.
And I'm such a perfectionist.
Yeah.
So it's so hard.
Well, so when did you start that project? During the mm-hmm. pandemic when you were kind of shut down and locked up?
Yes, because I actually, again, my mentor, Pat Gillum, It's also another program with her because I wanted to write a full book. It was going to be my story, was mm-hmm. going to be my first book. But after writing those two chapters and start writing on my story, honestly, I got bored. I got bored with my own story.
Right.
And then I was talking to her one day and I didn't know how to say it to her because I felt like I was just beating my head up against that wall. And she said, you know, that's not what I see for you. This mm-hmm. is what I see. And she started talking about the makeup and everything. And I'm like, we always say she sprinkles that little fairy dust on people to make us just move mountains, you know. And that's what she did. And I'm like, that's what I want. That's it. That's it. What you're saying right there. That is it. That's what I want to do. That's what I need to give
mm-hmm.
women who still want to wear makeup, but they don't want to glob on all that makeup. They want to have daily care. They want to take care of themselves. If I hear one more woman, 50 and up, 60, 70, 80 years old, I'm fat, who cares? I'm old, who cares? So what? I'm out in the sun all day. Who cares? Baby, you should care. You are not putting moisturizer on or eyeliner on or mascara on for anybody but you. That's it. And if you never want to wear makeup, don't.
Mm-hmm.
But I will ask that you cleanse and tone and moisturize your skin.
Yeah.
I do ask that. So my goal is to change that mindset. Because 70, you're still feeling 50s and 40s. You know, we were just talking about that, Otto.
Yeah.
I'm 54 years old and I feel 34.
Yeah.
Even though my body says I'm 54.
Yeah, your body, every once in a while, your body wants to argue with you. What's that number? That's not the number I got.
Right, right. You know. So true.
Oh, yeah. Well, listen, you know, we've got, we only have about another 10 minutes. I could spin one of those other songs by that band if you want. And then we'll come back and we'll give everybody ways to contact you and then also maybe talk a little bit more about, oh yeah, I have to congratulate you on something. So we'll do that right after the song.
Oh.
How's that?
Okay.
So here's another one by these guys called Moonwalker from Fervor Records.
Yes.
And this cut is called Leaving Love. So check it out.
Okay.
Here on the Otto D Show.
listening to Parody coming at you live.
And that was Leaving Love from Moonwalker here on the Auto D Show, where this evening my guest is Toy Taylor. And Toy, we've been going through your career, you know, as a makeup artist and as an entrepreneur and as an author. But I didn't want to skip over the fact that in your personal life, you recently got married.
So I did.
Congratulations.
Yes. Thank you.
Very happy for you.
I'm happy for me.
Good.
Yes.
That's the way it should be.
Yes. She is. She's amazing. I saw something today on one of my groups, and it said, is it possible? And then the picture was like, be honest, be loyal, great sex, like exhilarating conversations. And it just said all this stuff. Is it possible? So I love to look at the comments because I was like, yeah, maybe one day. I was like, hell yeah. Third time might be a charm, but honey, it has worked. Yes, I am a firm believer. If you work on you, for everybody who's listening, if you are out there looking for your person, because I do believe everybody has a person. Everybody has that one person that is their connection. You have to work on you first. Like I said earlier, if you don't work on all that bad childhood conditioning, the things you were taught and told, it will go into every relationship you have until you take care of it. And maybe it's because I'm past the age of I don't give a crap type of thing. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know. But I work so hard on myself, my soul, my every being to make sure I have some sort of purpose in this life and that I am here to serve. Because I do come from a long, long line of caregivers in my family. And I do believe that the universe blessed me with this perfect person to just be that ride or die, that best friend, that comedy, that just everything. And yeah. I'm tickled to death. So
cool. Well, congratulations.
Yes, thank you. My feet are not touching the ground anytime soon on that one. yeah.
That's fantastic. And then in terms of your career and your life, you mentioned this next movie coming up that might take you out of the state or even out of the country.
Right.
Where do you see, in terms of what you want to have happen, where do you see your life in 5 years?
Ooh, I hope I'm definitely traveling international. I keep laughing and saying I want to go to Romania. I want to go to Zimbabwe. I want to go do a film here, there, and everywhere. I look at films like I want to be on a Game of Thrones set.
Mm-hmm.
I want to do gladiator barbarian type movies. I'm full of testosterone, by the way, mm-hmm. in case you didn't grab that. So I am not a rom-com girl. Mm-hmm. I'm not a chick flicky person. I will watch them, but it's not my go-to. I am a shoot 'em up bang bang kind of girl. And so I hope to be in 5 years, I would like to be immersed in the film industry. I would like to be getting that phone call to say, hey, can you do this film? We'll be out for 8 weeks. We'll be out for 2 months. We'll be out for 3 months. We'll be out this. Can you do this? Yes. Can my wife come with me? type of thing. Because sometimes that's doable.
Yeah.
I do. I do not plan on. I don't know how long I'm going to be in the salon. Mm-hmm. I really don't know because it is hard. I've got a boot on my foot now because I walked funny on it. Being behind the chair is strenuous.
Mm-hmm.
Being on set can be strenuous. But at least it's not the same movement all the time, you know. And so I don't know how long I'm going to be in the salon. But I love doing hair. So I don't think I'll ever give that up.
And so it sounds to me like you'll be in the salon until the movie business takes you away.
I like that.
And you'd be like, oh, I'm happy to go.
I like that.
You know, but if you're not on set, what are you going to do? You'd be
in the salon. I'm prepping my clients. Yeah. They all know. All my clients know.
You're going to have to fly to the movie set and I can do you right? lunch and that's it.
Hey, when I did California for those 3 weeks, we worked 5 days a week, Monday through Friday, 12 to 14, 15 hour days and weekends off. The first weekend I slept the whole weekend. The first weekend stayed home. The next weekend we drove back so I could do 12 hours in the salon of all the clients and then got back in the car and drove back.
Wow.
to be on set at 5 o'clock in the morning that next morning. Yeah, that's dedication.
It is, that's, man. Dedication. It really is. If you want to do this, that's what it takes.
Yeah.
Because if you say no, that's too much, well, the next person says not for me.
You will not get hired again.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Yeah.
And again, I'll tell you right now, it's not your talent. Mm-hmm. I mean, your talent is there. Let me take that back. The talent is there. Show up. Professionalism.
Yeah.
Follow directions.
Yeah.
Don't get caught up in the BS, because Lord knows there's always BS somewhere. Know your place and know your lane. Yes, Moni, I know my girl is listening. That's one thing she says. Know your place. Know your lane. For
yeah.
real. And especially when you gotta know what role you're in,
mm-hmm.
and everything, and what position you're in. Know how to just handle it and just do your work.
Yeah.
And that is one thing I do very well.
In the music world, it's you always have that one musician who's a real diva, who happens to be the best of
right.
the best, and a real
right.
jerk. And so you have to educate the band, because he's just a member of this band.
Right.
That, you know what, the job doesn't call for the world's best guitar player.
Right.
The job calls for a pretty good guitar player who's not a real dick.
Right.
And who will show up and do the work and be on time and do the part, do the rest of the job.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But people get confused sometimes. They think, no, as long don't as I'm the that. Best, they I got it all and they owe me, and they
nope.
can, you know. And it's not that way, not out in the real world.
I don't get starstruck like that.
No.
I do have a quick story.
Yeah.
On something like that. So a friend, she was the controller over at Celebrity Theater,
mm-hmm.
and she called me, and she's like, hey, my artist needs, she'd like a quick manicure, pedicure. And I'm like, what? Who is it? Anita Baker. I was like, what?
Oh,
the
busy.
Anita Baker? And she's like, yeah. I was like, okay, I will come out. She was like, no, seriously, cash, I'll pay you. I was like, okay, so what do I bring? Does she want polish? I don't know. She's got a runner. I don't know. Just bring some reds. She'll probably want that. So I'm hauling pedicure tub. And she did say it was going to be easy. So I didn't have scrubs and all that. So, yes, I did. I'm pretty sure I probably had half the salon. I probably did. Yes. So I had tubs, everything. So they walk me to the green room. I go into her dressing room, and it is like, whoa, like even the pantyhose are rolled down so she could just step into it. The lipstick is already just rolled up so they can use it. Everything is so strategically placed.
Yeah.
Well, the whole aura is just, is icy cold. So I'm waiting and I'm waiting. I'm there about 5 o'clock. She's sound check. The doors open up at 8:30. She's still on stage. I'm like, I got a party to go to. Now I'm getting mad, because I'm like, I don't give a damn if you are Anita Baker. I got a party to go to. And so now I see her backup dancers. One big security dude is dang near in tears. Like, people, the energy is so negative. And I wasn't all into the energy and spiritual stuff as I am today, because mm-hmm. I probably would have been like, dude, I got to be out of here. So she finally got off stage. I had got the girl said, get the water, so she can just soak her feet. Okay, so I got the water, had it all bubbly, got it as hot as I could, plugged it up. And then she came past, and I'm just standing there like the lowly little servant in the hallway. She walks past me, and she looks at me and gives me the curtly nod, walks in her room, and her assistant looks at me, and she just shakes her head like that. And she comes back out. She's like, we're not going to need your services. I was like, oh, hell no. Are you Anita Baker? You can.
It was a rough day.
I was done. So she's like, she's like, you can stay for the show if you want to stay back here. And I was like, I got a party to go to. No, thank you. Now, I'm not going to lie, I listened to her, and I even went out there on the stage, out there in the audience. Well, there was nobody in the audience yet while she was doing her sound check.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, can I just say, she's so flipping amazing.
Yeah.
She sounds so amazing. And she's a snot rag. And I was so mad. I got to my party, I think, at 11:45, just right before. And everybody's like, oh, you saw Anita Baker. How was it? I was like, that bitch. Don't even start. Let's drink. Let's party. And I'll talk about it later. My friend was like, we're so mad. We will never book her again. She slipped me $100. And she's like, I'm sorry. Yeah. So there's my I'm not starstruck story.
When you're the lead talent, the diva thing, it's okay. You need to be in your space. And if whatever you need, you need to be in your space.
Right.
But when you're the guitar player, you don't need to be that
exactly.
guy.
Yeah.
You know, and that's really, I think you have to, like, maybe that comes back to the stay in your lane. Know your role. Because there's one person who, if they don't make the show doesn't go on. And that's
right.
that lead dog. That's
got that right.
Anita Baker. Anybody else doesn't make it, don't worry. We'll
right.
be fine without you and pissed at you. But
yep.
but so there is a difference in that front front man role, you know, that front person.
I just don't believe in treating people like that. No, there's no room for it.
I agree with you, but I think that it's that's the one place where people will say, well, whatever it takes, because without you, there's no show.
Facts.
And when that's your life, without me, there's no show, then it's very easy for that to fill you up.
Yep.
You know, and take advantage of that.
Yep.
You know what? Speaking of taking advantage of, we've taken advantage of the clock. We are running out of time. So it is 8 o'clock already. Listen, if somebody wants to get a hold of you, what's the easiest way?
Yes, the easiest way, Instagram, Just Being Toy. On Facebook, Toy Taylor. Twitter, Just Being Toy. 602-703-3315. My phone number is everywhere. If you say you can't find me, you're just not looking.
Well, Toy, thank you so much for coming on the show. I really appreciate you.
Yeah, this is great. Thank you for having me, Otto.
So good luck with this upcoming movie. Hopefully you
land. I know. I'll have to come back and tell you about it.
Absolutely. All right. Take care.
Thank you.
And thank you guys for listening to The Otto D Show tonight, where my guest has been Toy Taylor. We'll see you next time.